Hey, this is Russell, and I work at the video store, the place that we can go to every week when it's movie night. On days like today, when the store is quiet, I get to chat to my friends about the films and the series that we're loving. All right, let's do it. Let's open up the shop.
Did you see that thing yesterday on the TV?
How's it?
Hey, Russell.
How are you, my G-Force?
I'm good, dude. How are you?
I'm lekker, man.
Nice.
We are really in mizzy weather.
Yeah.
It is wild.
It's proper pouring.
This is last week, you and I were enjoying the cooler weather.
Yes.
But now, Jesus.
Yeah.
It's hectic. Oh, shame it's hectic.
It wouldn't be so bad if when the rain came, the power didn't go as well.
Yes. Yeah. No, as we're recording this, we're in the middle of a power outage here at the Bioscope. But, yeah, we'll endure.
Yep.
We're Joe Burgers. Welcome to the video store. Thank you for wandering in to our lovely video store. We've got ourselves a G-Force here.
Hello.
Who is the editor and producer of this show. And myself, Russell, who is the owner of The Bioscope, which is an independent cinema here in Johannesburg. Today is a special guest episode.
Yeah.
This is exciting.
It's cool.
And it's always nice to do these every now and again, and especially meet someone of this moment,
yeah,
so to speak. The big film, Now You See Me, Now You Don't, yeah, is in cinemas around the world. This is the third in the trilogy of these films.
Yep.
They fun magic films.
Yeah,
it's all about the world of magic as we have these group of people come together to, I think it's, they're effectively able to use their powers for good.
Yeah.
As they effectively get themselves involved in sort of heisty situations where they've got to steal things or get things or do good by the world and expose the evils. Jesse Eisenberg, Woody Harrelson.
Yeah, crazy stacked cast.
Morgan Freeman. It just goes on and on. And the third one is out now. And our main character, or our main antagonist, played by Rosamund Pike, is a South African woman.
Yeah.
She's playing a South African character. And she set the world ablaze because of how good her accent is.
Yes.
And standing alongside her through most of the film is a henchman, a head of security, played by a chap called Thabang Malaba, who is a South African. And we are going to have him come and visit us.
Cool.
So we're going to get into that. And then, so for all of those joining for the first time, and perhaps you've maybe come through Thabang, welcome. We are a bunch of well-meaning and... fun geeks that talk about the movies and the series that we're loving here behind the counter of our video store. So after Thabang's visit, myself and Graham will have a little chat about some stuff.
Cool.
But our typical episode is us behind this counter talking about the latest in film and entertainment news, along with some recommendations on what you can watch. And then, for all of those that tune in every week, I think we've got an interesting one here where Thabang could talk about what it's like to be on that kind of set.
Yeah.
A little glance behind the curtain on what people like Woody Harrelson is like, Jesse Eisenberg, who we kind of all know on the TV. And he got to see them in real life. He got to fight Woody Harrelson.
Yes.
Which is such a cool thing to sort of say you've done. And just how these things come about and how these people move through the world and what these actors, are aiming to do next. I think is a lovely thing to be able to pick someone's brain about.
Yeah.
So I think with no further ado,
yes,
should we do this?
Let's do it.
All right. This is Thabang popping in to rent something. How's it?
All good, sir. How are you?
I'm lekker, man. It's so lovely to meet you.
Lovely to meet you too. I'm so happy to be here, thank you for having me.
And it's one of those rare moments where I looked at your face a lot yesterday on the big screen.
Yeah.
Because it is all very exciting that you are a part of Now You See Me, Now You Don't. Mm-hmm. This new big Hollywood film that is on the cusp of being released. How do you feel about it right now? Because it hasn't come out just yet. Have you had a chance to watch it?
Yeah. I've seen it, and I'm excited. I can't wait for the audience to see it and just find out what they think of it. You know, like I said, it's a milestone, not only for me but for South Africa as a whole, and it's centered around South Africa because of the villain, of course. But
don't you think that's cool that we've got a South African villain?
Right. Like, it's so cool. And she's one of the few people who got the accent right.
100%.
That for me is just
I want to talk about that because So Now You See Me, Now You Don't. We've had two Now You See Me's. This is the third one where our main villain is a woman called Veronica van der Berg. And it's like, it's as if one of the family members of the Oppenheimers sort of turned a little more malicious and evil and used their power for some bad. Mm-hmm. And it's got some skeletons in their closet. And it's played, she's played by Rosamund Pike,
yes.
Who I think it's a little easier, we've said this in a previous episode, I think it's a little easier to do the South African accent if you're either British or Australian. Because it sort of comes from those, you know, we're sort of like a weird triangle of accents that are there.
I think our accent is derived from theirs, I think. No?
Totally, yeah. It's a flat British mixed with the Dutch. It's quite interesting. I don't know how we ever got the American accent. I'd love to sort of hear how that happened because they were Irish, British folks that settled in the States, but I don't know how they got that.
How they got to that. I hate it, man. I'm learning it. I'm learning how to, like, you know, hit those different accents from that side, but it really
sucks. Have you had to,
like,
do characters? Or are you working on something?
So as I'm saying, I'm working on the accent. I haven't really had the chance to, like, you know, perform in it.
Okay.
Yeah.
Because the more you can sort of add to your resume, the more it kind
better,
of opens
actually.
Up, right?
Yeah, especially now with, you know, this Hollywood production, because I'm trying to, you know, take my career that side.
Sure.
You know, so I really need to get that accent on lock because that's probably like 90% of the characters I'm going to get are going to be like, you know, American.
I'd love to, okay, we're going to get into it and I'd love to hear the plan. I'd love to hear where your head's at this point and what kind of moves one can make. I'd love to talk about the start in a place like Harrismith and what that means and how you sort of came from that town and now you're in this, you know, this Hollywood film. I'd love to obviously talk about what that film was like and what being on that set gave you. When did you shoot this film?
We shot it last year from June or July, somewhere there, until December. But I only got on in the last 3 months of filming.
Okay. Yeah. And what was that moment? How did that happen?
I got the audition, obviously, and then, you know, I killed it. And
of course you did.
Yeah, I did.
What did they have you do? Just some lines from it?
Yeah, there was a scene that I was supposed to perform, I think two. And funny enough, those scenes were supposed to be in the film, but they're not in there.
Sure.
You know, it happens every
time.
So
much gets
caught
on the cutting room floor, yeah.
Yeah, you shoot a lot, and then when it comes to edit, you know, some of the things make it and some don't. But yeah, I had an audition, I did that, and we had a callback where the director had to come in and give me pointers and tell me, okay, change this, do this, you know.
Yeah.
How about you do it this way, you know. And then, yeah, he also liked it. Very cool guy, by the way, Ruben Fleischer. We did that. And they liked me. And a funny story is they were actually looking for this character globally. So they started, like, America, and then they went to the UK, and they couldn't find this guy until they came
It made sense that it was you, and it made sense that it came from here, because...
Exactly.
So as we're saying, it's this South African powerful person who would naturally have a South African security and bodyguard. Exactly, so you you play her sort of like head of security, her, but you like right next to her in the most sort of more intimate of spaces and times. What was she like? What was Rosamund Pike like? Because as we said, she totally nailed
the accent.
She totally nailed this accent. And so I would imagine she could have turned to you in moments and gone, is this right? Or what would I say? Or what would a South African do? I'd imagine you were alongside her for that.
I was in pretty much most of her scenes. I was with her in it. And there's like a thing or two that I kind of, you know, gave her pointers on. You know, for example, there's a scene where, you know, she speaks of the diamond and she says, Amahle, the diamond, the beautiful diamond. And I gave her a point to that. Okay, a South African white woman would say Amahle.
Because
it's difficult to pronounce that sound.
Yeah, yeah.
So she was like, oh, brilliant. I love that. That's actually going to work for me, you know. So, yeah, there are a thing or two that I was like, okay, a South African would do it like this. But overall, it was done by a guy named William. He was always on set.
I'd imagine he was South African. Or was he?
No, he's British. He's brilliant.
But he was a dialect coach.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, like he's been doing that for many years. And he's so good. It's crazy. Like, his hearing, like I think it takes a genius to kind of like, you know, know accents and teach it to people.
And I think
especially when you're not from the country of the accent, you know?
Yeah, but I think when it comes to you like kind of learning your American, you've got so much to pull from. Mm. You've got so much media. You've got so much to like hear and listen to. If anything, the world is ruined by how much American we hear, that we all kind of pick up these accents.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of like Afrikaans kids like speak.
Yeah.
Like, you know, they live in small little towns, but they speak English and American accents.
Yeah.
Because that's all they got. Yeah. But you don't hear a lot of South African all the time. And so when you do hear it, you're like, ooh, it sounds different.
Yeah.
And there was some interview with her where she was talking about it, and I got a sense of her accent before I got a chance to watch the movie.
Yeah,
and I was like, if I close my eyes, this is like a woman behind me in the aisle for Woolies. Yeah. Like she nails it,
like a woman from Sandton, bougie white woman. Yeah.
Okay, so we got the audition, we nailed it. How much of it was shot here? Because
none of it. None of it.
Yeah, because there was that. There's the quarry sort of scene, but that could have been anywhere. And then most of it is in Abu Dhabi. Hey?
Well, most of it is in Hungary, actually, Budapest. And then, we obviously had to go to Abu Dhabi. And then another part of it is in Belgium, Antwerp.
Oh yeah, that's right. There's Belgium scene.
Yeah.
What's Budapest like? Did you get a chance to see
very interesting
of it?
Yeah. I mean, it's beautiful, the architecture, the buildings and all of that. Beautiful stuff. That language that they speak is so fascinating. Like, I was wondering it kind of sounds like Afrikaans, but like certain words though. It's a very interesting.
Are you talking about in Belgium?
No, Hungary.
Okay,
Budapest.
because in Belgium, Flemish is apparently very close to Afrikaans.
I
heard people literally the other day speaking Flemish, and I was like, I can't hear the Afrikaans in that.
Yeah.
It's wild.
I've never heard it.
It's like a sort of Frenchified Afrikaans. Mm. It's like a Frenchified Dutch. It's wild.
Yeah, a bit of German in there
as well.
It's
a muddle of everything. Yeah. Belgium is this tiny little country that's just a little melting pot of three or four different cultures. Okay. First up, you've walked into our video store here.
Mm-hmm.
Have you watched something recently that's gotten you excited?
Yeah, I really loved this new show, The Day of the Jackal.
Oh. That's on Showmax, eh?
Yes,
it's on Showmax.
If I'm not mistaken,
it's got what's his name? He was in The Theory of Everything.
Yeah, and he won
an Oscar. Fantastic Beasts.
Yeah. Can't remember his name, but that guy, brilliant. Oh.
Okay, I'd imagine you'd appreciate the acting of that.
Yeah, the acting as well as the action, you know, like his sniping skills and all of that. So I have a new side hobby, like with, you know, firearm training and all that.
Oh shit.
It's mostly for movies, you know, knowing how to operate a gun and stuff like that. I'm doing it on the side, but I'm actually really enjoying it, you know. And obviously it's not to terrorize people, self-defense and all that.
No. But I remember talking to an armorer, like the person who is in charge of you know, guns on set. Mm. And he was like, you'll never believe, like, people don't know how to. I've got to show on camera that someone like yourself has had all this training, you know, because you're an elite bodyguard of one of the most powerful people in the world for Now You See Me.
Yeah.
It's like you got to know how to hold the gun.
Exactly. You know, the grip, all of that. You need to know how it operates, you know, and the guy's right. Like, there are a lot of people who actually don't know how, you know, a gun works. I mean, it's okay because... Yeah. And also, it's scary.
And also,
you know?
Exactly, the power of a gun.
Yeah, exactly.
I'll never forget being in film school and our lecturer saying, I don't want to see a gun in any of your short films. Mm. He's like, you can prove me wrong, but I don't think at your age you guys fully grasp how scary and powerful a gun is. Mm. You can prove me wrong, but it's likely not going to happen. So think before you put a gun in your movie. Okay, but you're going for the training.
Yeah, so I'm doing all of that just to know how everything operates and just to look like a professional in case I get, like, you know, something that's similar to Now You See Me, where I'm a bodyguard of some sort, or I'm actually running this, you know, big syndicate, crime syndicate, because those are the kind of characters I'd like to play, you know. I'm trying to step away from a lot of the characters I've played, you know, locally in South Africa. I need to show that side. So I need to look professional. I need to look like I know what I'm doing. Of course, there'll be training prior to filming, but it's so much easier when you already know, you know, how to operate it and work it. It becomes easier for the person training you. You move quick.
Yeah.
Move fast. Yeah. So.
No, have you seen that footage of Keanu Reeves?
Exactly.
Yeah, oh, you know exactly what I'm talking
him
about.
And Michael B. Jordan for Sinners when he was training. Those are so cool.
That's
like,
a fucking,
you know,
great movie.
Yeah.
So, I loved Sinners.
So you get to that level quickly when you know what you're doing already.
Yeah.
You know, so.
And you got the tattoos. You look like a badass, man.
Yeah.
I'd hire you for the assassin job.
Yeah, 100%. I can't remember how I got to the gun stuff.
We were just talking about Day of the Jackal.
Oh, yeah, Day of the Jackal. Yeah. So, yeah, his sniping and just the character, man. How... the things he goes through to get what he wants, you know, and actually getting it, and sometimes he has to kill, and he's like Deadshot, like he doesn't miss. Oh, that is so cool to me.
Lovely.
You know, and how you've seen it, right?
I haven't. I just know about it.
Okay,
though.
Well, and how the snipers are made. It's not normal like gun snipers. He could make a sniper out of like a luggage bag, and then get to the area where he's shooting from, disassemble it, and then assemble a gun. That is so cool. Like,
that
it's
badass.
Yeah, you need to check it out.
I totally will.
Yeah.
I love the idea that you've got this plan and that you're thinking about all the skills that you want to take on. Let's dial back. Let's go back to the small town of Harry Smith.
Mm-hmm.
I'd love to go back in history and meet the guy called Harry Smith.
Yeah, Sir Harry Smith.
I don't know who he was, but I just love this idea of going like, hey, there's going to be a little town named after you.
Yeah.
And he'd be like, okay, interesting.
Yeah, let's go.
Like meeting William Nicol.
Yeah.
You know, it's like was a dude. Like there was a real guy out there.
No, William Nicol.
And
then he went further down south. And then the next town he found, he was like, okay, we're going to name this after my woman, Lady Smith. Yeah.
I didn't know that.
Yeah, so it's like an hour away from Harry Smith.
And that was Harry's wife.
Yep.
Hey, good old Harry. What was that like?
Growing up in Harry Smith.
Yeah.
It was great, man. Sometimes I wish I could, you know, just go back. It's a great town filled with a lot of talent, but unfortunately not a lot of opportunities. You know what I've done here with Now You See Me and just reaching this level with my career is unheard of. You know, there's no one who's ever done it. So it's, yeah, like I'm saying, there's a lack of opportunities there, but a lot of talent. You know, great town, So it's a combination of like Zulu and Sotho people.
Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, overall great town.
How I old grew were up, you so when you left?
When I left,
yeah,
I was old. I was, you know, probably 19 after matric.
Okay.
And then had my studying in Pretoria.
Okay.
For like 3 years, and then I moved to Joburg.
Okay.
But yeah, like all of my life, basically, I was in.
Was there a cinema in Harry Smith?
No.
Okay. No. Were you exposed much to movies?
No, only, you know, like, you know, piracy, you know,
no,
USB,
totally.
Hey, friend, yeah, yeah, give me that movie.
No, if there's no cinema,
yeah,
what you are you meant
like,
to do?
I'm ashamed of saying this,
no,
but,
it's,
you know, it's,
we,
that's how
it's,
we
it
all did
the,
it, you
it's
know.
It's the way that sometimes
yeah,
has to work.
So, yeah, around those times, it was just like, you know, I have a laptop or so-and-so has this movie, give me a USB, let me, you know, that's how we had access to movies through computers. Computer culture was very big in Harry Smith, you know, because we played a lot of games and all that.
Okay.
Yeah.
When you're a little kid now,
yeah.
This is like primary school era, perhaps even younger. Is there a first movie that you can remember watching that you like fell in love with, that you like obsessed over?
There's a lot of them. Like,
what comes to you first? That's what I'm always intrigued by.
Like blood, what? Blood Sport.
Bloods, Jesus, in yeah. primary school.
Yeah, like,
okay.
Van Damme.
Okay.
Oh, I used to watch a lot of those because my father had like a whole collection of cassettes, you know, when you're still playing with cassettes.
Oh, you mean like a, what, like a VHS movie?
Yeah.
Okay,
yeah,
VHS.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's where it all started. But yeah, it was a lot of like Van Damme stuff, you know, fighting, kung fu, all of that. But yeah, mostly Van Damme, yeah.
Okay,
yeah.
You can see, this is the, this is our theory. Now you must tell me whether I'm right or not.
Yeah.
But this is the theory: is that this sets in motion what kind of a person you're going to grow up into. You know, the fact that there's going to be this like badassery
yeah.
on its way.
Yeah,
imagine telling that little kid watching Bloodsport that he's going to be in like a similar action movie. Like he's gonna be doing action scenes on like a big Hollywood set.
Yeah, it's insane. Like I don't think he'd believe it. And even with you know the cast members of Now You See Me, I actually grew up watching some of them. You know, the first one I think came out in 2013. I was in matric.
Okay.
You know, I grew up just watching them. Morgan Freeman, you know, Jesse Eisenberg as well. And to be in the film with them is just like you know, full circle moment. It's surreal.
Did you get some time with Morgan Freeman?
Yeah, it was very short lived because I met him on his last day on set.
Yeah.
And he was on a break when we met and then he quickly had to go back to set again. But
yeah.
I wasn't working that day and the director called me saying, hey, I want you to come meet Morgan because he's leaving, you know, just come through quickly.
Oh, that's nice that he created that space for you.
Yeah, so I came in and met him and yeah, he had to go back on set and then that was his last day.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. But you got a moment.
I got a moment to like meet him and, you know,
yeah.
grab his hand and give him a handshake, you know, and yeah. Yeah, it was very quick. I didn't really get to know him like that, but we met, you know, so that's good, yeah.
Lovely, man.
Mm-hmm.
Rosamund Pike, who, as we said, is your the person you sort of alongside throughout the film. Have you seen Gone Girl?
Mm.
I mean, it's like the depths of this woman.
She's brilliant.
And what she's capable of.
Yeah, I have seen it. It's actually, when people mention Rosamund Pike, that's the movie that comes into your head, you know.
Could she give you some acting advice that you like have held on to? Was there something that you could learn? I'd just be curious whether you could share.
You know, she gave me pointers on how to like memorize lines, you know. So because I was fascinated by her work, I was like, okay, so you are memorizing these chunks of lines in a South African accent and you're just flowing with it, you're killing it. I mean, you know, 99% of the time it was like she'd remember the lines, you know. Mm. There were very few moments where
it's hard enough to remember, let alone do
exactly in a different accent. So yeah. She gave me pointers on that, you know. It's mostly like repetition, just repeat it when whenever if you're cooking something in the kitchen, just go through your lines, keep saying them to yourself, you know. Yeah, that's. Yeah, there's a couple of other stuff. I just can't remember. It's been a long time.
Because I'd imagine the hardest part of acting for screen is the fact that you have to get yourself to that ready, set, go mark over and over again.
I'd imagine that
is fundamentally the fucking hardest part. Like, my hand was there. My face was this way. Mm. It was just a little bit up, a little bit down. And then you have to be 100% in it. You can't half-ass it.
Yeah.
Where with theater, I would imagine you build up, and you know what you need to do in the beginning. Mm. And once you're in, you're in, and no one can stop you. You've just got to be present and do it.
Yeah.
TV, somewhere in between. But for film, I'd imagine that would be so hard to have to do so many times. Were there moments where you were kind of doing multiple takes and it was tough? What were some of those moments?
Not for now. You see me three. My character is very neutral, and he doesn't really have too much of an emotional arc.
Mm.
So there weren't moments where I felt like, okay, like this is difficult, or I'm having a tough time. You know, he's very neutral. Like we didn't get a chance to see, you know, his emotional side or.
Yeah.
Things that trouble him, you know, the internal turmoil, nothing of that sort. It's just, you know, stern, he's stoic.
He's got to be a badass.
He's a badass. Yeah. So, yeah, I like watching my fellow cast members performing.
Yes.
I was more like, okay, you know, this is interesting. Ah, this is great. I remember watching Jesse Eisenberg.
Yeah.
His improvising is, wow. Like, I'm.
Okay.
I'm
in awe, was that man. Like?
I feel like. It takes a genius to, like, you know, improvise like that.
Mm.
Yeah, it's the scene where we meet him for the first time, my character and Veronica.
At that cocktail party.
Exactly, yeah, the diamond party. Yeah, so he was improvising a lot there, and he'd improvise based on what he's seeing, you know? Like, it's I don't know how to describe it. You just have to see him do it, and it's crazy. Like, I was like, okay, this guy is brilliant at what he does. And like I said, it really takes a genius to come up with stuff like that. And it sounds cool.
Yeah.
You know, it's one thing to improvise, but then it's like,
falls flat.
Okay, yeah. And then it's one thing to improvise and you're like, holy shit, he's killing it, you know, so.
And you forget how stacked this cast is, because then you've also got Woody Harrelson.
Yep.
Did you get much time with him?
Yeah, a lot of time. I kick his ass.
Spoiler that's right. Alert. Yeah. No, that's right. I watched this movie yesterday in preparation to chat with you today, which was a very helpful thing thanks to Empire Entertainment. And when you were doing that fight sequence, I was like, this is something to talk about.
Yeah.
Because that was, what, a day? How long would it take you to shoot that?
A day, yeah.
So
a day or two.
It's so wild, and this is the thing. This is exactly what I'm talking about. People forget this because for them, it is 10 seconds of a movie that, you know, is just
so
moving forward. Mm. But to have blocked and done a fight sequence
like that
could have taken a whole day.
Yeah, even a week, actually. Because remember, the stunt department has to film it first and then kind of like show you guys, hey, this is what we want in the final product.
Yeah.
You know, this is how it's going to look like. We need to shoot it like this.
Yeah.
And then from there, you get into rehearsals to prepare the stunt
That's cool.
Sequence.
That you actually get to watch it.
You actually get to watch it first.
My arm mustn't be this high, or I must punch him little bit lower or whatever.
Exactly, yeah. Okay. So and it's done by your stunt doubles. So they are the ones performing the sequence in this thing that they've shot.
Okay.
So you obviously know, okay, this is me. This is my stunt double. So this means this is me. This is what I need to do.
Okay.
You know, so yeah, we got to see everything before actually filming it for the final product.
That's cool.
Yeah.
And what was it like doing a fight sequence with Woody Harrelson?
Super cool. I've always wanted to do that. You know, like I said, locally, I haven't done much of that. So I've always wanted to do, you know, some fight sequences, shooting even. So... yeah. It was really cool. I was excited.
This is when the Van Damme comes out.
Exactly. Yeah. There we go. Yeah. Lovely, so man. It was awesome, man.
Okay. Mm. A little later in life, in high school, was there a film that you can think of that stands out as like a high school film? We call it your high school crush here at the video store. We're pirating more. We're watching more movies when you can.
Yeah, you
perhaps
know, stuff
we
like
evolving a little past just sort of simple action. Was there something else?
Well, in later on in life, like high school, I was a dancer, so I was like in crews and stuff, and okay. We challenge each other and all that. So I gravitated more towards, you know, dance movies like your Step Ups, that one with Chris Brown, Stomp the Yard, you know. So those kind of movies I kind of like, you know, connected to a lot because I was a dancer at the time, and I kind of feel like I felt like
was
man,
that a cool thing
to
do
be...
in Harry Smith?
Yeah. Very
okay.
Much
was
so.
There like a was there like a pride and respect, or were you more the like sort of theater kids? This
no,
is
no,
like
no. There's pride and respect. Like it's
this
it,
is a
it
thing.
Was it was a big thing.
Okay.
Like dancing in Harry Smith was a big thing. If you were a dancer, you were one of the coolest. You know.
But it's you that got, like kind of competitive.
Yeah.
Almost like teetering on breakdancing, but not quite.
Yeah, not or, quite. It's more of a local dance called Ispodra. You know, it's, okay. I don't, it's not.
Okay, so the more localized version of what we know,
you know
to have happened in Step Up. What does that look like? Or what is the vibe
of it? It's like, I don't know if you've seen like TikTok trends, you know, that kind
of
dancing.
I try to stay
too.
As far away from TikTok as I can.
Is it? Why? Why is that?
No. I have deep respect for how visually literate the world is getting through TikTok. And there's a lot of really great stuff that shines through. And I get to see that in other platforms. Mm. When I have put my head into TikTok, it does seem like a horrible place.
It is.
But
I get what you're saying.
But yeah, like, the best stuff actually kind of makes its way out of TikTok.
Yeah.
But what is the kind of dance? What is the vibe?
Yeah, it's like dancing to Amapiano, you know, that kind of vibe. I'd have to show you a clip.
Sure.
Too. Yeah.
Okay.
But yeah, it's
okay.
Like,
so dance is on the repertoire. Can we sing?
No, not really.
Okay,
no.
So you're, double threat.
I did do a bit of music, but you know, I can't sing. You know, I can sing rap.
Okay.
You understand what I mean? Like it's a more trap soul type of style.
Okay.
Yeah. And I did a bit of that as well. There's nothing in you know, the arts that I haven't done. I used to draw as well in primary. I went to an art school, was very, very good at sketching, but I lost that because I never, you know, pushed it through. But yeah.
An art school in Harry Smith?
Yeah. Lovely. Yeah. We had a lady there who was running an art school. You know, after school, you'd go there and learn how to paint and all that, like portraits and stuff. And I was really good, actually.
Lovely.
And she moved. So I think that's where everything fell off for me.
Sure.
Yeah.
But you can always pick that up in other ways.
Yeah. I think if I were to go back to it now, I'd kind of pick it up again. I think.
That's
I believe
cool.
that. Yeah.
Do we have a high school movie? What stands out for you?
So, like I said, it was Stomp the Yard in
high
school.
The dance stuff.
Know, like
okay.
The, yeah, the dance stuff. Step Up.
Okay.
You know, those kind of movies I was into. I mean, they're not like Hollywood blockbusters.
No, they were huge. I mean, they were big. Did you have the ambitions of like, I need to get out of this town?
Yeah, I felt like it.
Did you feel bigger than Harry Smith?
Yeah, it
in a good way.
You,
in
it
a
makes you feel like
way.
That. And at the time, I had a crush on Megan Good, so I was like, "Man, okay, so I need to know how to dance to get this woman." You know,
yeah.
Yeah, teenage me used to believe that someday it would be a thing.
Sure.
Yeah, but
okay. Then we go to Pretoria, and we study.
Then
we
go
what
to
we
Pretoria, studying TUT.
Okay, and what
I
did you
do? Logistics and supply chain.
Oh,
and
shit.
Then that's
okay.
when.
This is when the dream. This is when the dreams get challenged.
Yeah. This is when it all started, actually. And then,
well, the thing is, you didn't want to go to art school, or you So, you weren't encouraged to go to art school? So what was happening?
At the time, I wasn't really sure what I wanted to do.
How do we take this artist who dances and why do we put him in logistics management?
Okay, so how it happened was I wanted to be in civil engineering or, you know, architecture. Right.
Interesting.
Yeah, because I used to, like I still had it.
You drew.
I drew. And in high school, I did engineering graphics and design, which was, you know, I was good with it and I liked it, you know, like, cool. You know, the technical drawings and all that.
And also don't discount how creative an engineer is.
Exactly.
They are an artist, but they're living in a maths brain.
Yeah.
But they're thinking creatively.
Yeah, 100%. Yeah, okay. I had a friend. His name was Spageme. He's brilliant, and he kept on drawing. Like even in high school.
Yeah.
He was and he kept improving. It was the craziest thing to me. The things he'd come up with as he was drawing, and he was like, "Yeah, this is me. I'm going for architecture," and he's an architect today. Okay. And it's like, man, you did it. You did say
architecture is literally one of the hardest degrees you can do.
Mm.
People don't think it because they think it's just drawing, but it's not. It's like if that drawing doesn't have the maths behind it,
the
building
thing
will flop.
Yeah.
Like literally.
Yeah.
But also you walk into a space and you go, I don't quite know why, but the vibe feels right. Like there could be a little house, but if it's designed with more volume or the flow or the space or how the kitchen is laid out, you could go like, this is a mansion, but it's a small house.
But it's a small
and then
house,
you can go to a mansion and go, this feels off. Yeah, it feels wrong. Yeah, it feels small, but it's a huge house.
Yeah,
and it's all about that architecture. That's interesting.
So,
okay, but so we started that.
Yeah, so I was explaining how I got to. So no, we didn't start that, right? How I got into logistics was, okay, I applied too late, right? And so I couldn't get into architecture. And then they were like, look, just take anything now, do it for the year, and then you'll change when you're in the system to architecture. I was like, okay, great, that sounds good. So it was logistics and supply chain. And then when I wanted to change, that didn't happen. So I kind of like stuck with the logistics and I finished it.
Hey, good for finishing it.
Yeah, I finished it. And
so
then,
what is that? What BCom degree? What is it?
It's a BTEC.
BTEC.
Yeah.
Okay.
So I did that. And then from there, while I was doing that, I was auditioning and doing castings for commercials mostly, you know. And then I fell in love with that. I was like, look, I could actually do this for the rest of my life. I like this, you know.
Yeah.
Booked a couple of commercials. And then after that, when I graduated, I gave the piece of paper to my parents saying, hey, look, I've done it.
Okay.
I've graduated. Can you give me the year off to like go and pursue what I actually love doing? And they were like, okay, cool. If it doesn't work out, you're going back to school. So that was 2017. And here we are. You know?
Yeah. Commercials are good and they're good money.
Yeah.
Like they can really like cover rent for like
especially
a few months.
Especially as a student.
And it's like one day on set.
It's a lot of money.
Wow. I got a good friend who was in he randomly got a commercial where he was driving a Renault or one of those sort of European cars. The advert didn't even fly in South Africa.
Yeah,
and he was that kind of featured extra, the guy driving the car. And that commercial alone paid for like an overseas trip, you know, like 4 months for him to like travel.
Yeah,
you know, as a student, but still, like, that's big money.
Especially back then, you know. Right now, it is kind of tanked.
It's tanked a bit,
I think it's because of social media and the rise of it, you know.
Yeah.
People don't feel much of a need for commercials anymore.
Well, also, we're not watching as much TV, but we are getting those ads. You know, they're just being served in all different ways, and we're paying extra money to not see the ads. So they're not something we want.
Yeah.
What was... this is a funny subject, and I've always just been curious. Just you must answer in the way in which you feel comfortable. But what was this job like for you in terms of, like, what kind of a payday was this movie for you? Was it more exposure? Was it a great chance? Was it like this is good? This like sets you up for a while. How did that? How was Now You See Me in terms of a compensation?
It was good.
Good.
That's all I can say. Yeah.
No, lovely. Good. That's what I mean.
Yeah. No, it was good.
It was like
it has to be.
Yeah, of course.
You know, I fight for that. You know, I fight for good, you know, compensation. Yeah, it was good.
You felt fair, it felt good, and it was one of those like this is good. This will set me up for a while.
Yeah, like I said, I fight for that, you know, always. And sometimes I get in trouble with the producers because they don't like that, you know. But, yeah.
Because you get the suspicion that, not to say that it would ever be malicious, but, you know, they might go like, hey, the exchange rate, like we can get away with not paying as much. Or
They,
it's like this guy is seeing things in rands, we're seeing things in dollars. Let's try to take advantage.
Yeah. But you know, if you know how to manage all of that, and if you have a good agent, you're gonna be sorted. It won't affect you.
I ask less to get juicy goss and more. I love to show people at the video store how these things get made, how these decisions come about. Mm-hmm. So were you able to find a sort of benchmark figure, or were you able to sit down at a table, or was it your agent or your manager that did it?
Yeah, it's like all of those things are.
It feels
done.
Quite personal.
Yeah, they are done by the agent.
Okay.
Yeah. Obviously, they have to consult with you first, and but ultimately the decision is yours. But all that back and forth is done by your agent.
Because you just hear these lovely stories in Hollywood where people are like, "I would have done that for free." because I get to work with that person, or I get to do this, or Wes Anderson famously pays people, you know, the SAG rate, you know, and these are Hollywood superstars.
Yeah, but like, it also depends where you are in your career, you know.
Totally.
For example, Jonah Hill did Wolf of Wall Street for free, apparently, just because he wanted to work
next
with
to
Martin
yeah,
Scorsese,
yeah. It's
you know.
Interesting, yeah.
So when he did that, he was already at a certain level of his career where he doesn't really need the money like that. So it's easier for those guys to say that. But if you down there at the bottom of the food chain trying to level up, it's kind of like, you know, a spit in the face.
But it worked out.
Yeah.
You're happy with it all.
Yeah, no, 100%. Yeah.
Lovely, man. When you're over in Varsity and you're probably discovering a lot more through Varsity. We've got something called the It's Getting Serious film, where maybe you're challenging yourself by watching sort of slightly more different or more interesting stuff. Is there a film that you can think of then?
Not a film, but a show.
Okay.
Game of Thrones.
Right. Yeah,
definitely.
It was a game changer.
It really was. Wow.
I was literally telling someone the other day, I was like, because we're talking about the economy of cinema and people coming to cinemas and people watching cinemas and the future of cinema. Mm. And I was like, it started with Game of Thrones.
Yeah.
Where dragons were on your TV. Before, dragons were always in the cinema.
Yeah.
But on TV was Friends and Will and Grace and this kind of set. And every now and again, there were some movies that, I mean, some shows that took you out of the closed set.
Yeah.
But Game of Thrones was one of the last big shows that we all watched in a sort of monoculture that just ushered in a new era of TV.
Yeah. No, definitely. The other show that's close to it is Breaking Bad, but you don't get like to see any VFX or like effects in there,
but that's a great character.
And like you're saying, that's like the standard of like TV shows.
Yeah.
So Game of Thrones definitely took it up a notch. Yeah.
Lovely, man. Mm-hmm. Then one of our last films is the film that you could marry, the film that you would settle down with. What's your like all time favorite, or at least one of? It could go back to one of the ones you've mentioned earlier, or there's something else. Is there one that stands out for you as like your favorite film of all time?
There's a few, you know, there are a few. It's not only one, I think.
No, sure. But what could be one of the first?
The likes of, you know, Wolf of Wall Street is really good. You know, what's this? Inglourious Basterds is really good. Django Unchained. You know, a lot of the Quentin Tarantino stuff is really good.
Yeah.
Pulp Fiction. Sure, you know. Sure. Yeah. Like there's a lot. I think I have 10 where I can be like, you know, these movies.
Lovely.
Top notch for me.
A lot of the ones that you've said are such great examples of good writing, you know.
Yeah, I think you know, a great show starts there. Great show, a great film starts with the writing. If the writing is really good, it's really going to carry, you know, the film through. I think so personally. You know, I love reading a script and I'm thinking, wow, this is great. This is good work.
Yeah,
you know, the writing is really good. So it really starts there, I believe.
Yeah, no, of course. Mm. One thing I want to touch on very quickly is just the fun of Now You See Me.
Yeah.
Have you ever had much experience in like eventing where you've been like the MC of events? Have you ever been involved in like putting on those like productions?
Not really, okay. No.
I'll explain what I'm talking about, which is like I just love in this movie, and of course like I'm not shitting on it.
Yeah.
But it's just so funny that within a day the magicians are able to put on these like, you know, elaborate magic shows with like VFX and their faces like projected on the on the walls. And it's just like when I was watching it yesterday, I was just like, who made the graphics?
Yeah.
Who signed off on the location? Yeah. Who's paid? And at one point when they're like, we need to go to Abu Dhabi, they're on a jet. And I like turn to the person in the cinema next to me. I'm like, whose jet is that?
Yeah.
Like, who's paying for this? It's so fun. And it's silly, but we came out of it going like, this is such a fun movie.
It's very fun, witty. But
I just think that was such a funny part of it where it was like, I know how difficult it is to put on a production.
Yeah.
You know, and we often just even in our cinema here, you know, you've got to have these little signs and things printed and sent off for approval. And
yeah.
And I love how, like, in this movie, they like on their way to Abu Dhabi somehow briefed a whole technical team to like put on their magic show.
Yeah. No,
and then people also came. Like whenever they've put on these production as the Four Horsemen, the magic room is packed, and it's like, do you know how hard it is to fucking get people to come to your event?
It's magic, you know, that's what they do. So.
It's so funny. It's just, but it was one of those, like, that doesn't ruin the experience of the movie. It is fun, and it's great, and of course it's lovely. Mm-hmm. One thing to just touch on is the fact that we, you know, have the South African villain for the first time. Have you watched the movie Lethal Weapon 2? By any wild chance?
No.
So there's about four lethal. There's four lethal weapons. Lethal Weapon 2 is what I want to rent you here to take home.
Okay.
It's delightfully cheesy. It's made in the 80s, but it was one of the first times the world was given South African villains.
Mm.
Okay, for the longest time.
And who was playing these villains?
No one famous. They were used for the sake of the movie. I don't think those actors went on to do much.
Yeah.
But there's this great moment where they're in this action sequence right in the beginning of the film, and they're hearing people talk, and it's a combination of like South African accents and Afrikaans. And over the radio, they're like, "What the fuck accent is that? Like, where are these people from?" And then it's discovered that they're South African, because let's not forget, late 80s, early 90s, at least white South Africa was seen as evil.
Yeah.
You know, the world didn't like white South Africans.
Mm-hmm.
And they held a certain power and control.
Mm-hmm.
And so I just find it so funny that in this period they made these guys the villains of the movie. And there's a great scene.
Check it out.
There's a great scene where Mel Gibson's chasing the one guy. He gets to the embassy, and once he's inside the South African embassy, there's this close up of his face, and he says, "Diplomatic immunity."
Yeah.
Like, you can't touch me, but in this South African accent.
Yeah. Also, so he's playing a South African.
I think he's playing a South African. I don't think they were South African actors. I'm not 100% sure.
I'll check it out.
I need to watch it just for the fun of it. I really think it's Veronica van der Berg and it's those guys were really the only big South African villains we ever got.
Yeah. Okay.
So that could be a fun movie for you to watch.
Yeah, no, definitely. I have to.
Cool. So I will rent that for you. Good. Yeah, this is exciting. Good luck with everything.
Thank you so much.
And when this movie comes out, I think people will see how fun it is, how much it just continues the story of these horsemen. I just think it's so great that you were involved.
Thank you so much, man.
And yeah, good luck with everything. And hopefully this leads to things. I would imagine with you being as proactive as you are, picking up these other skills, that I'm sure we'll see you in something else soon.
Yeah, no, 100% you will. And thank you so much, man. I wish you all the best too. I hope everything you want works out.
Thanks. No, lovely, man. It was a treat getting to know you. And
thank you,
and we hope to perhaps see you at the video store at some point soon.
Yeah, you will.
Cool,
definitely,
man.
Definitely.
Cheers, eh?
All right.
All right. Lekker chat.
Yeah.
Nice dude.
Yes.
On the cusp of something.
Right.
I mean, listen, he's had a whole career in South African television.
Yeah.
And he's a superstar in South Africa. But it's cool that, yeah, there's a expansion and there's a plan. And hopefully this is a nice stepping stone for him, which is all very exciting for him.
Exactly.
Who was our... He was the actor that we couldn't remember, who was in Day of the Jackal, who is in...
Oh, was it Eddie Redmayne?
Eddie Redmayne.
Okay.
That's it.
Yes.
That's it.
Okay.
Funny, eh? That just wasn't at the tip of my tongue.
Yes.
Funny how you just... A name can just draw a blank.
Also weird that there's a different thing where that same character is played by Bruce Willis.
Oh, yeah. There was a movie.
Yes.
That was just called The Jackal.
Yeah.
Yeah. Was it a book? Was it based on books?
Yeah, I think it's a book. Okay. I have no idea who wrote it, but The Day of the Jackal is definitely a book.
Okay. I got to share one great moment with you, Graham. Because you haven't seen Now You See Me yet.
No.
Okay. So our main woman,
yes,
Veronica van der Berg, gets calls from like a cryptic person.
Right.
Who is basically blackmailing her, threatening to expose what she's done. And you quite quickly can hear that it's a South African accent.
Right.
This person. So it's another South African that's going to expose her.
Okay.
She gets a call. I think it's like her second or third call, where this ominous voice that's got like a filter to sort of make it process it to make it. There's nothing quite like a haunting phone call from your blackmailer that starts with, "How's it?"
Nice.
It happened, and we all burst out laughing.
Awesome.
It's great.
Only funny in one country in
Only
the world.
Only funny in one country. It's a little bit like the Cheers at the end of 2012.
Oh, right.
Where, you know, the whole world was engulfed in water and tsunamis, and old John Cusack in those big Chinese-built arcs.
Yes.
You know, sailed these new seas. And then eventually they're like, no, we found land in the Drakensberg mountain range in South Africa.
Yeah.
And everybody cheers. Then the guy goes, they don't call it the Cape of Good Hope for nothing, even though the Drakensberg is so far away from the Cape of Good Hope. That's great. I just love that. And then like
delightful.
Every other movie house in the world just sort of went, okay, cool.
Yes.
And all the South Africans were like, we're safe. If we just go to the Drakensberg.
Now we know.
Yeah. Funny.
Yeah.
What else have you been enjoying at the moment?
Oh, I've been watching nothing. I've been editing all week.
Oh, really? Eh? Being kept busy. We got to see Wicked for Good.
Oh, cool.
Which is lovely.
Nice.
It is a very consistent to the original. I think they shot it all kind of at the same time.
Yeah, I'm sure it's all back to back.
It's a lot more... full of plot and nuance, where I think the first half was very much sort of setting up the world and setting up the characters.
Yes.
This one sort of really gets into the sort of the weeds of the story. It's not a simple plot. It's quite a lot of nuance. But the way that it weaves in Wizard of Oz and the characters that we know from The Wizard of Oz and how they're included but not included, I think is very cool.
All right.
So, yeah, it's a great conclusion. I think
It's
a story that, you know, everybody knows who's watched the play. So I don't think any of that is necessarily these kind of huge spoilers. But you can see why Wicked as a production has just been such a good timeless Broadway production. Mm. And I just thought it was great.
Cool.
In that sense, that it just completes the story. So really, you do need to have seen the first one.
Yeah,
I mean, I know that's obvious, just a reminder. So try and refresh yourself before watching. It was lekker.
Nice.
I've also started Pluribus.
Okay, good.
So good.
Yo, that first episode is incredible.
It is so good. It's over on Apple TV Plus.
Yeah.
We've spoken about it. This is Vince Gilligan's new show. This is the guy who brought us Breaking Bad.
Yeah.
It's a big concept.
Yes.
It's a big swing.
Yeah.
But I love how it also just plays out so sort of micro.
Mm, it's like contained.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then there's just these little moments every now and again where you realize like just how big the scope of this show is. But, you know, that's huge budget. You can't always do that.
Exactly.
And so that's why it's quite cool that it manages to be quite small at the same time.
Yeah.
But, I think it's a really interesting show at a time where we are feeling so isolated and we are feeling so siloed and we are feeling so spread apart.
Yeah.
You know, are you with the Israelis or are you with the Palestinians?
Yeah.
Are you with, you know, the Republicans or are you a Democrat?
Yeah.
Like where, you know, I think seeing a show that just shows us how magical the world, well, not magical, how interesting the world could be if we were just to be so united.
Yes.
Is interesting.
Yeah.
And just this feeling and the sense of overwhelming connectedness.
Yeah.
Is just an interesting thing to be witnessing.
Mm.
And that's why I find that very interesting right now.
And there's 1,000 places it could go. I have no idea where the end of the story is.
Yeah.
It's not obvious at all.
Yeah. No, that's a good point.
Yeah.
Because it doesn't feel like anything can be reversed.
Mm.
Oh. You got to watch it.
Right.
You got to watch it so that we can talk more about
it. Yes.
Magic. G-Force, anything else?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. Wicked for Good is in cinemas from this weekend.
Yes.
So run out and check that.
Including at the Bioscope?
Including the Bioscope.
Very nice.
Yeah, tickets are on sale and they're selling really, really quick, which is exciting.
That's good.
All right. Thank you for such a lovely day.
Yes.
Yeah, cool. And thanks for Tabang once again for giving us a nice visit.
Awesome.
And we have lots of other guest episodes. If you go to thevideostore.co.za, you can see some of them.
Mm-hmm.
But there are plenty more that we actually haven't put up on the site.
That
we've linked to on the site. But we love talking to the actors. We love talking to, you know, the DOPs or the people who do the scores or the intimacy coordinators.
Right.
It's been very cool to just see all the different roles and all the different careers that you can get on the film set.
Yes.
And I just think for anyone who wants to get in that world, it's worth just showing you just how many roles there can be.
Mm.
Obviously, the most fun is the director and the actor.
Yeah.
But there are plenty others. But we've always tried to bring you those and
bring
you interesting people from those worlds. So I hope you enjoyed that chat.
Cool.
And there will be more down the line.
Definitely.
Magic. Thank you, G-Force.
Thank you.
Thank you, everyone. We'll see you soon.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.